Amen. We'll get started here this evening. Good to see everybody here tonight. Again, thank you for coming out on a Saturday night for some church and hear some preaching and try to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Glad to be here tonight. Glad I'm saved. I'm glad. I'll say this tonight. I'm very thankful. Very thankful for a God and a Savior that deals with us. Right? So I'll explain real quick. If you take your Bibles, if you could for a moment, and look at Romans chapter 7. I'm not preaching. Don't worry about it. I'm not preaching. This is not a sermon. All right, Romans chapter 7. And I want you to look at verse number 14. Romans 7:14. The Bible says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see in the law my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." If you can flip over real quick and look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5:16, for just a moment. Just a moment here. I want to look at these two scriptures before we begin tonight. Galatians 5, verse 16. Paul says here to the church of Galatia, he says, "This I see then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you let of the Spirit, you're not under the law." He said, "Preacher, why are you reading these verses?" So for those that were here last night, I felt the Lord impressed upon my heart to apologize how I first reacted last night when I got up here. How can I expect revival to take place when it starts with the pastor? Now, I don't apologize for what I said, but I do apologize how I said some of the first things that I did say. I would say that I didn't have the right spirit with it because I got provoked and I got a little bit in the flesh. I allowed my flesh to speak a little bit there. But I do believe some of the things I said was true. So I'm not apologizing for what I said. I'm merely apologizing for how I said it. I didn't say it with the right spirit in the beginning. So God dealt with me about it. You know how Moses smote the rock? It's not my place to smote the rock. And it's my desire for God to do so many services. So if my spirit's not right, how can I expect the Spirit to be right out there? So I want to offer my apology. And I want to go forward and see what God will do. So I'm looking forward this evening, how God can help me, and hopefully help you as well, that we'll not only examine ourselves to make sure we're of the faith, but if we are of the faith, that we're doing what we need to be doing. And that we always have the right spirit. That we always have the right spirit. In every situation we handle, we need to make sure we have the right spirit behind it. What we say might be true. Do we understand? What we say might be truth. But if we say it in the wrong spirit, It negates the truth that we say.
Amen.
So you pray for me that God will help me to say the things I need to say with the right spirit. And I'll pray for you as the same, that God would help us to say the truth, but with the right spirit.
Amen.
Let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I love you tonight.
Amen.
I thank you for your mercy and your grace.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, wretched man that I am. Lord, I can't wait for that day you deliver me from the body of this death, dear God.
Yes, yes, amen. Yes.
So, Lord, I pray for the services tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd give us what we need. I pray you'd lead and guide and direct Pastor Doss. Father, you prepare our hearts. You prepare our minds. You prepare our spirits, Lord, to receive what you'd have for us, dear God. Lord, help us to examine ourselves, both as Christians and maybe somebody here that's not saved. Lord, I pray you'd help them to see clear. Lord, I pray to keep the enemy away, dear God. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would have liberty. Lord, that there be nothing here tonight that would quench that Spirit. Or, Lord, that there be anything in our hearts, dear God, that would grieve your Spirit. God forbid, Lord. God forbid we'd have anything that would grieve your Spirit. Lord, we ought to be a thankful people. Lord, I thank you, dear God, tonight for your mercies. So, Lord, I ask humbly tonight, dear God, that you meet with us. Lord, help me as I pastor this church and help the brethren that are here, Lord, as we go forward for you, Lord, to be a light and a testimony for you. And we ask these things now in the precious, precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you please stand, if you're able tonight, I'd like to start off with a hymn, page number 160. If you're able to stand, please stand and take the blue hymn book, and we'll start off with page number 160 this evening. Are you washed in the blood? Amen. Page number 160.
By faith we can see it afar.
to try to finish up here if you could help me out tonight. Page number 793. Page number 793. I love this hymn. Help me sing it out tonight. Page number 793. Master, the tempest is raging. Amen. Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high, the sky is o'ershadowed with blackness, no shelter nor help is
nigh.
How can Selah sleep? Each moment so badly is threatening, a grave in the angry deep. The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey my will.
Peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still.
Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today.
The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save my grave.
Torrents of sin and of anguish sweep o'er my sinking soul.
And just everything has been so wonderful. And we thank the Lord for it. And again, for you people. And look, We love this dear family, and anybody that will treat this family right is a friend and a blessing to us. I'll tell you that right now. I want you to take tonight, I want you to stand with me if you would, and take your Bibles, and we'll go to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, Brother Chris did not know any more than any of you what I was going to be preaching tonight or the rest of this time here. I did make mention last night that if the Lord would guide, I would be preaching on different things concerning offenses and sins against the Holy Ghost. And he didn't know for a fact what I would be starting out with tonight. But undoubtedly the Lord's hand and guidance has been manifested in the start of this thing. For what your pastor did tonight takes a very big man to do that. And I appreciate it from the depths of my heart. And in the essence of what he did has to do with what we're going to be looking at tonight. Folks, we're in a dark hour, and there's no denying that. And it is imperative that we have the fullness of God's Spirit and power in our life. And we can have. We can have. The problem won't be the Lord's, that's for sure. And so last night we looked at, again, in order to have revival, there's got to be something there to put life back into. There's going to be life there first and for it to be revived. But tonight, I want to start, if the Lord allows, in the next couple of services, to look at different sins against the Holy Ghost. Because listen, it's the Holy Ghost that births us into the kingdom of God. We looked at that last night. The book of Acts, the Bible says if that individual that comes to Christ by faith is given the gift of the Holy Ghost, they're born of the Spirit of God and are sealed with the Spirit of God. Sealed under the day of redemption, born of the Spirit of God, and cannot lose the Spirit of God, though the Spirit of God may be grieved and quenched and other things that we'll see, Lord willing, in the next couple of services. And so tonight, I'd like to start out with the Lord's help on this thing of sins against the Holy Ghost, looking at grieving the Holy Ghost. If you will, go to Ephesians chapter 5, and you'll get to sit down here in just 1 second. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Father, thank you for your word. Direct and help us and guide us tonight, Father. We pray in the blessed and holy Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Now, your pastor has already tonight set an example of making sure that the Spirit of God is not grieved. The Lord put it upon his heart to correct something that was just between him and God. That was a matter between him and God. Whatever that was a matter between him and God. But he felt that there was something that needed to be addressed lest the Spirit of God be aggrieved in his life or in the life of this church. And he set a right example tonight with that. And folks, I would ask you, I would implore you tonight and the next couple of nights as we go forward, if the Spirit of God, honestly, speaks to your heart about any matter that is amiss. Maybe not something that's amiss indeed, but is amiss in your attitude or your spirit. You know, sometimes you can be all right, but yet be all wrong. Then deal with that thing. Get it taken care of with God. Get it taken care of with others so that there can be no grieving of the Spirit of God, so that God's Spirit can bless and fill and use this place and this assembly for his honor, glory, will, and purposes as he so desires. Because, oh, how it is needed in this day and hour. I'm sure that most of you here that are familiar with your Bibles, you know that when the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, and they had their camp, all right? And naturally, they had to take care of personal matters, all right? And God wanted a clean camp, all right? And so the Lord made sure that they would have a clean camp Because without a clean camp, there could be disease. You know what kills men in war, at least in wars probably from maybe Korea back, maybe in Vietnam? You know what killed men more than bullets? Disease. Disease. Disease has always taken more lives than have bullets or arrows or whatever. In fact, there have been some generals who have threatened to leave, have threatened men with death if they didn't adhere to the hygiene rules set down. Because you can kill men if your camp is unhygienic. And so God did the same thing. He set the standard up. God told the children of Israel, he said, look, he said, when you go abroad to ease yourself, okay, to go to the restroom abroad, and look here, that's a camp of over a million some people. He said, you have a paddle upon your weapon. And he said, when you have eased yourself, then you cover that which cometh from you. He said, lest I walk through your camp and see some unclean thing and my presence depart. Now listen, the Lord wasn't going to leave them because in the sense of he had brought them out, he was going to bring them in. That cloudy pillar and that pillar of fire, that cloud never departed from them. But in the essence of God's presence and fellowship and power with them, he said, I'll pull back. I'll depart if I see some uncleanness. Now, if you're saved, you're born of the Spirit of God. You are sealed under the day of redemption. You have eternal life as a present possession. But the Spirit of God that has birthed you into the kingdom of God, that has sealed you, that is the earnest of your inheritance, can be grieved in your life. Can be grieved in the life of your church in so much that his power and his presence will not be present and at its fullest. And then we are impotent. We can't accomplish anything without the power of God in our lives. I'm sure some of you are going to have at times relatives and friends that you're going to bring to church that you won't them to hear the word of God. You want them under the convincing power of the Holy Ghost that they might be born again. Then what a travesty, what a criminal thing it would be for us to be guilty of grieving the Spirit of God so that God's Spirit would be grieved and his power not present in convicting and convincing power when someone comes in. My brethren, you don't have to answer this aloud, but I do want you to answer a question right now in your heart. Do you really believe that we are in spiritual battle, spiritual warfare? It's real. That armament in Ephesians 6 is real. And listen, mark it down. Just as soon as you get ready to have church on Wednesday or for these services Sunday, trouble's going to start. Arguments will start with family members that normally don't happen. They won't make any sense. In fact, at times you'll know what's going on but feel helpless to do anything about it. You've got to buckle on every bit of that armor because it's a real battle. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Not one person in this church, in your family, in your neighborhood is your opponent. Your opponent are the powers of darkness. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And you must have on the armor of God. As the enemy tries to distract you, tries to get your world tightened down in this little tight thing. And you know what happens when that does? You'll feel like everybody's against you. You're the only one that's trying to do it right. He'll tighten your world down to destroy you. When I've preached in prisons in different places, I've told those men, I said, listen, get out of your cell and walk to the fullest extent of this thing. Don't let the adversary put you in your cell and keep you tightened down there. As much as you can, get out and expand yourself. Walk, get out. The devil always wants to tighten you down physically and emotionally in your mind. And he'll take control of your thoughts and he'll just wreak havoc with you. You're in a real warfare. And it's for the souls of men. It's to keep you inhibited. And please understand that. Know who your opponent is and how important it is that we be filled with the Spirit of God. If you're saved, you have the Spirit of God. But we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. So look here. Notice here. The Bible says, verse 18, Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now here's the interesting thing. How The question has been posed before. How do you take and fill a vessel? Okay, the Holy Ghost is in us if we're saved. We're sealed by it. He indwells us. We are born of the Spirit of God. But the Bible speaks of many and separate fillings, F-I-L-L-I-N-G-S, fillings of the Spirit. And we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. So how's that to be done? Well, here's the thing. You know, reality is said to be made up of three concepts. Time, which is made up of past, present, future. And then you've got matter. Thank you, Roy. Right. It's made up of solid, liquid, and vapor. One God existing in the three persons of the Godhead. The Father would, if you will, be as like the solid there, like the solid, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will, almost like liquid, but the Spirit as vapor. Because Spirit and air, here's the interesting thing, and please stay with me here this minute. Please stay with me. How do you get a vessel? How do you get a vessel to get filled with something, with a gaseous substance or air? Well, I did a little study on that, and here's what I found out. It's really kind of simple but profound. A gas will automatically fill any substance, any container that it's in, until it meets an obstacle. And at that point, it stops. A gas will automatically fill, it'll fill that container until it meets an obstacle, and it stops, until that obstacle is removed. If you're saved, you have the Spirit of God. My dear brethren, He will fill you. You got saved, you got filled with the Spirit of God. Seriously. And hopefully you've known of times that's been you've been filled with the Spirit of God. But I tell you what, when you got filled with the Spirit of God, what was removed was any obstacle that was in the way. And so, brethren, listen. If we would be filled with the Spirit of God, with His power, with His might, then we would remove, we must remove any obstacle that the Spirit of God points out to us that is in the way. That we would humble ourselves and get in agreement with God. Lord, this is wrong. It's sinful. I know it. It's a wrong attitude. I know it. I'm sorry. And you would make it right with God or with others. By removing that obstacle, then the Spirit of God will naturally fill you. So look, with that in mind tonight, I want you to take your Bible here and go to Ephesians chapter 4. But before you go to Ephesians 4, go to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. And verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're born of the Spirit of God, but are you filled with the Spirit of God? Now, can I tell you something, brethren? We often think that a lot of things will just get solved by prayer. Oh, and in no way am I downgrading prayer. Oh, for the most part, oh yes indeed, prayer takes care of so many things when we believe. But listen, we're whistling in the wind if we think we're going to pray and ask God to fill us, but not do our part to take care and rectify whatever is grieving Him or whatever is in the way. Now we're kidding ourselves. Your pastor last night, I appreciate how he handled things. And I know at our church, there's not an altar per se that we have. And one of the things that bothers me, I think, that's happened today is this. Too many people have gotten used to coming to an altar. They pray, they maybe shed tears, but they don't do anything. My friend, listen, if God deals with you about some matter and says, this attitude's wrong, this thing needs to be made right, you need to correct this. More so than even praying about it, you just simply need to say in your heart to God, yea, Lord, it's true. Now help me to do it, Lord. Help me to correct this thing and make it right. Make it right with you. Make it right with others. In other words, remove that obstacle. Not a matter of just praying, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. He wants to more than you want to be filled. I guarantee you that. But if something's in the way, that gas will fill that container till it meets an obstacle. An obstacle has to be removed. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. At Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look here at verse number 30. Ephesians 4 and verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed on the day of redemption. So if you're saved, you're sealed by the Spirit of God. Sealed. He's the earnest. You're kept. Secure. But you can grieve him. You can grieve him. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The Bible tells us here the Holy Ghost can be grieved. What does the word grieve mean? In the dictionary it means, listen to this, here's what grieve means in the dictionary. To give pain of mind to. To wound the feelings. To afflict. To offend. To displease. Brethren, those here who have been born of the Spirit of God, do you understand that if we allow certain things in our lives, when we grieve the Holy Ghost, please get out of your mind the thought of, well, it just kind of stops the flow. No, you've hurt someone. You have hurt the third person of the Godhead. You have wounded his feelings, if it were. You have grieved him. You have hurt him. Listen, any of you with children or family, how do you feel when your children would sit around your table perhaps and yet you could tell something's not right? There's something precious and holy about a meal together with a family. It is. It's supposed to be a sweet time. A time where a family gets together and they break that bread together and share that food. But if there's something that's not right there, it hurts. To a parent, to have their children have something amiss with one another, it hurts. We come here to feed on the things of God. To get fed by the Spirit of God. To get fed by the things of God. If there's anything that is amiss, anything that's not right, we hurt, we grieve, we afflict the Holy Ghost of God. And brethren, that's just not right. You see, we need to think about Him. Not just the fact that His power is not present so we can see people go, that's all wonderful and fine, but there's a person we have wounded. Someone we have grieved, the Holy Ghost of God. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs chapter 18. We'll come back to Ephesians 4, but go to Proverbs 18. And verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Now, this is talking about, it's not talking about the Holy Spirit, this is talking about man's spirit, but still, look at the principle. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Did you know that history has shown us that even men that are lost, that have a strong spirit, it is amazing what they can endure and overcome. If you've never read the story of Ernest Shackleton and his expedition in the Antarctic and how he brought those men out, it's phenomenal. Phenomenal. What those men had, you know what he had? He had great spirit. I'm not talking about men that were saved, but they had a never say die, a never quit attitude. And God honored that. There's no question about that. And those men came out of that. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. There's been many a man lost, but with a strong spirit that endured much infirmity and turmoil. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? When your spirit gets wounded, you're done in. Well, I want you to think about this in light of the precious Holy Spirit of God. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. You know, we can go through a lot of things, but when we have God with us and strengthening us and helping us, and we know if we're saved, He's always with us, but but a wounded spirit. And brethren, we've read the Holy Ghost can be grieved. And one of the meanings of grieve in the dictionary is to wound the feelings, to give pain of mind to. This we cannot endure. We cannot have. We cannot do that. So what according to Scripture, are things that would grieve the Spirit of God? We'll go back to Ephesians 4. Look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness. The first thing listed here that will grieve the Spirit of God is bitterness. Bitterness. What is bitterness? Well, according to the dictionary, bitterness is defined as extreme enmity, grudge, hatred, sharpness, severity of temper, biting sarcasm. If you've got any sense at all to you tonight, then you'll heed my words and you'll honestly ask the Lord to reveal to you, is there any bitterness in your life toward anyone? Now listen. I remember one time sitting at my desk at the house, and I thought, well, Lord, I think I've got this one covered. Because the Bible, later on in one of the Pauline epistles, it says for husbands not to be bitter against their wives. And I thought to myself, well, I've never been bitter against her. I've never been bitter. Lord, I think maybe there's one I can maybe check off that list. Until I looked up the definition of bitter. And one of the definitions of bitter is sharpness. I realized that there's times that I was sharp with her. Sometimes I would get in a rush or a hurry, and I would kind of sharp. And it would hurt her at times. It hurt her. And you know what I did? I sat there and cried. Yep. Sat there and cried. Think what you will, but I love that woman. And I cried. And I went in there and I said, I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There's been elements of bitterness, not like I would usually think of, but according to the definition, my sharpness. Did that mean that I solved and never did it again? No, I wish I could say that. But I was aware of it, and I want to try to be better about it. Do you have any bitterness? Guys, sometimes we can get sharp with our spouses. We can get impatient. And we need to, and we get, you may not, well, I'm not holding a grudge, yeah, but you were, you hurt her when you didn't need to. And now, ladies, don't get me wrong. Sometimes he doesn't have time to go into a lengthy discussion, and sometimes time is, he's got to hurry it along, but it doesn't have to be so sharp. Gentlemen, listen. If the Lord lets you know, there are some marriages that have been stale for years because nobody's willing to say, I'm sorry. They're not going to get divorced because they feel like it's right according to Scripture. We stay together, so they exist. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. But above all, toward the Lord, above all with brethren, is there any bitterness? Listen, you need to ask yourself, is there anyone here as far as with your spouse, with your children, Listen, standing for right is one thing. I'm talking about a bitter attitude that's turned personal. Is there any bitterness that you have toward a brother or sister in the Lord? Brethren, please don't play games. It's too late for that. Up ahead, death calls for us all, or hopefully soon the return of Jesus Christ. But either way, we, if we're saved, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will give account concerning our lives since we've been saved. Now listen, there's no time for foolishness. You had to humble yourself to be born again. To keep in fellowship with God, there's got to be humility. Is there any element of bitterness in your heart toward anyone? It may be someone far away that you've held. Maybe somebody you need to write a letter to. Somebody you need to seek forgiveness from. Somebody you need to clear the air with. Well, you know, it's not all on my fault. I understand that, but at least on your part, clear the air. The Bible says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Is there someone here that you need to say, I'm sorry? You know what? I've not had the best attitude towards you. I've harbored some things, and I'm sorry. I want the thing right. Boy, the Lord will just bless with that thing, and He'll just, oh, the Lord will do things with it. I can't know that. I don't know that, but I'm asking you, is there any element of bitterness that needs to be dealt with in your life? Again, the definition of extreme enmity, a grudge, hatred, sharpness. What? What? I don't know. Man, come on. No cause for that. Let me tell you something. I got folks in my church from all over the place. I was born in North Carolina. I lived down in South Carolina. One thing about you northern brethren is you definitely tend to know where you stand. Kind of, what? I don't know, you know. Southern people tend to be more genteel but more hypocritical at times. That's true. That's true. There's sometimes Southern people can kind of, we can overflow with sweetness but hide something on the inside. And that's hypocritical and it's wrong. But let me tell you something. Being sharp and not taking the time to be kind, no excuse for it. No matter where you're from. It didn't matter culture. It didn't matter that I was brought up north. I was brought up south. It ain't right. It ain't right to be a hypocrite. It's not right to take and to be sharp and biting when you could be a little kinder. And as a believer, listen to me. You people, listen to me tonight. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, how in the world are you going to taste Jesus? You ever thought about that? How in the world do you taste Jesus? If you're saved, He lives inside of you, right? Sure He does. All right, as you interact with individuals, as you interact with people, you've got four main taste buds, right? Sweet and sour, salt and bitter. So what is the world tasting when they taste you? What do they taste? Somebody gets in line at that bank or somewhere, you know what they usually taste with the world? Bitter. Bitter. Somebody in line, somebody behind you, hey, huh? Bitter. Or sourness, just sour. But you've got also salt and sweet. That salt is typified by the grace of God and that sweetness of the goodness of God. That person at the bank, that person at the store, that person in line in traffic, that person you interact with, they're tasting you. You name the name of Jesus Christ. Are they tasting the sweetness of His goodness? Are they tasting the saltiness of His grace? Are they tasting the same bitter and sour things that they get from the world? If they're tasting the same bitterness, the same sourness that they get from the world, then you've got nothing they want. Now that's just the truth. We need the fullness of the Spirit of God so that people can taste some sweetness. Not hypocrisy, no. Not syrupy, drippy. The offerings of God, you didn't offer honey. Lord said, don't put no honey on my offering. Salt, yes. We need to be straightforward and real and honest, but gracious. But gracious. Not syrupy, drippy, false. Real, but gracious. And kind. Charity, the Bible speaks about, is kind. That woman, Proverbs 3:1, she opened her tongue with, in her tongue is the law of kindness. The world needs to see it. The world needs to sense it. The world needs to taste Christ in us. And if there's bitterness, they won't be able to. They'll just taste the same thing they get in the world and it will grieve the Holy Ghost of God. If there is bitterness, brethren, you're getting a chance tonight. You're getting a chance to deal with it, confess it before God, and write it to make sure that God's Spirit is no longer grieved where you're concerned. So there's bitterness. Let me say this, that again, do you have any bitterness against a spouse? Against a parent. You know, I've never got over what my mom did. And so you've done everybody right too? Get off it. Stop it. Stop it. You know, my dad, my parents, it's time to get over that. It's time to get over that. It's time to get over that by the grace of God and get that bitterness gone in Christ. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Any bitterness against a child, any bitterness against a relative, any bitterness against a brother or sister in Christ, any bitterness against the pastor, any bitterness against the flock. You know what? I was praying and getting these notes together weeks ago. And I wrote down in there, just to throw out, any bitterness, you know, I said, against relative, any bitterness against the pastor, any bitterness against the flock. Lo and behold, look what this man came up tonight and did. Look what he did. That's between him and God. Anything about that. But you know what? What he confessed and dealt with y'all about tonight was a subspecies of bitterness. He felt like he was a little sharp and stuff. He didn't apologize for what he said in the sense of he was right, but the way he did it. Brother, God bless you. That's a blessing. Listen, your pastor got right tonight what he was a species of maybe some bitterness that he felt, a sharpness. If there's any bitterness you have toward him, I'm not saying there is. I don't know if there is. You need to get it rectified and taken care of. For you, listen, that the Holy Ghost not be grieved in your life, that his power and presence can flow with you and in this church. Bitterness. Well, what else does the Bible say? Well, before we do that, could you go with me to Colossians 3 just real quick? Hold in Ephesians 6, but go to Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse number 19. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. If you're saved here tonight, so what do? If you've got a spouse that just about drives you out your gourd, you think it don't happen? It happens. Why do you think the Bible says in Proverbs, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house? And you know something? Did you know, believe it or not, I've known men who moved themselves into a container because they couldn't take it no more. I've known men who did, you can't imagine what they did just to get away, because the Bible says it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious woman. That's serious stuff. Well, what do you do? If you're saved, husbands, be not bitter against your wives. Gentlemen, that doesn't mean that you become a pushover or a doormat or just let her. You've got to stand firm and stand for right things with God, but do it in the right spirit and love her. Just love her for Jesus' sake. Ask God to give you his grace and his help, and it can make the biggest difference in the world. For 34 years of pastoring, you know what I've seen with couples? Couples always see what's the problem with the other one and never see their own troubles and never get anywhere. It's the rare one that does. Well, you've got somebody that'll say, hey, it's time to look at myself. And maybe you're concerned more about how I treat her or him than how they do me. You might get somewhere. Take your Bible just a minute. Take your Bible just a second. And go with me to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And 1 Peter 3, look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with him according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. By the way, ladies, you know you're the weaker vessel, right? So ladies, you know that, right? Ladies, you know you're the weaker vessel. Okay, so you know that. You know that. You are weaker than a man, physically and emotionally. You understand that? I don't care what you think. I just read you the Bible. Do you understand that? Doesn't mean that you're less than a man. It means difference in position and place that God has set up. Just as there is an order, there's a divine order to the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. There's an order to the home. Father, mother and children. And the devil always wants to disrupt that order. Now, ladies, you are the weaker vessel, not a lesser creation. Not to be mistreated, but know your place. My wife has told me through the years, she said, I'm glad you try to lead our home, because she says, I know what could happen, what would happen if I tried to lead. Well, Sheba, you see, Pastor, Stop it. Sisters, you're the weaker vessel. Okay? Know your place and pray for your husband and support him. And where he's maybe failed in the past, don't you ever bring it up to him again. That's gone. It's done. It's buried. Move forward. Look here. Husbands, love your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Gentlemen, treat her with that respect. Understand, she's the weaker vessel. So give honor to her in a sense, understanding that, and as being heirs together, the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on. But if you're married, what you need to do tonight, you need to get down by your bedside. Sir, slip your arm around her and pray together before you go to bed. Just slip your arm around her and approach the throne of God together. I'm uncomfortable with that. Do it. As a couple. Just do it. Just as a couple. Word, that's not us. Well, how could it be? Would you just try it? For me. Never seen it again. I only know if you did it or not. Humor me. I just tried. There was a pioneer family who was going out west, and the husband wasn't saved and the wife was. And they found a place and built a little cabin. This is true. And she said, husband, we can't order this family right without God. We've got to have family devotions. He said, honey, I'm not a Christian. You know I'm not a Christian. She goes, I know you're not saved. But honey, we've got to, and you're the husband, and we've got to have something. We've got to do something. You know, no churches, we're nothing. They're just out. He said, well, I'll try. I know it's right. He broke out that Bible with his wife and his children there to try to man up and be the man he was supposed to be. And he was broke down weeping and got saved. And they had a saved daddy now to go. Because listen, you know what he did? Lost man. But he knew, well, it's right. I'm supposed to lead my family spiritually, and I'll open the book. I'll try. And boy, God just broke him. Had any maybe a little trouble there in the marriage some? Put your arms around one another and pray tonight before you go to bed. Just seriously, do it. See what happens. I tell you what, it's hard to keep a grudge doing that. It's hard. And we'll deal with that going down the line here. All right, look here. What's the next thing in Ephesians 4 it says? Says next, says bitterness and wrath. Wrath is defined in the dictionary as violent anger, vehement exasperation, and indignation. Well, I'm not wrathful against anybody. You ever done this? Sitting in church? That's unclean. In love, I'm going to tell you right now, you are not right with God in that sense. Don't ever do it again and get that attitude right. That is under the definition, the heading of wrath. Extreme, listen, exasperation, vehement, just... Folks, I've been pastoring for 30-some years. Okay, I've seen it all. Well, I say that. Oh, be careful, Lord. I don't want to be. But seen enough. And you know what happened? Here's what happened at times. Nah, I'm not exaggerating. Roll the eyes. And get done. Good presence, Pastor. Good. You liar. No, it wasn't. You don't think it was. You detest me right now. You're lying. Don't do that. That's fake. Now it is. And the Lord's not going to smile upon that thing. But listen, and the answer is not, you're right. You're right. From now on, it stunk. No, you don't do that neither. You don't take that kind of attitude. It grieves the Holy Ghost of God. Do you understand me? Do you realize how uncharitable that is? If you sit in church ever, listen, I am telling you things I have experienced. I'm just preaching you what going through the scriptures. If you sit in church and you pull this number, shuffle papers around, not only is that disrespectful, not only is it showing you're not wanting to receive what God wants you to get, you don't care about other people around you. You are distracting others. You are keeping them from paying attention. You are distracting them doing that. I love you, but in love, you are a tool of the devil at that moment. Even as a saved person, you're a tool of the devil. As you sit there and get things distracted and get things to where people, don't do that. Don't do that. The devil will use that to get... Listen... You know what happens when we start getting tagged and the Lord starts dealing our heart? We do anything to shake it off. There was a young man in my church about 20 years ago. Some of the teens asked him, he was a teenager, asked him, they said, haven't you sensed the Lord dealing with you about your soul? He said, many times. They said, well, why had you done something about it? He goes, I just shake my head and shake it off. I try to shake my head and shake my head because he knew what it would cost him. He knew he needed to be saved, but he wanted to live his life. He didn't want his life, his routine interrupted, and he just tried to shake it off. A preacher told me one time, the old God man said, a lot of times people used to whistle, just trying to, and them old timers said they're trying to just blunt the Holy Ghost dealing with them in their life. Folks, be very careful. It's not enjoyable when the Lord tags us and rings our bell and says, that's you. We don't like it. But the Lord's doing it because He loves us. And oh, how sweet. You remember how sweet it was when you got saved? Well, it's the same kind of sweetness when you'll say to the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm guilty. And I'm sorry. And I want this thing right. And oh, how sweet it is. Just like when that prodigal returned to the Father. And boy, it was just so good. If the Lord deals with you about... Listen, if you're saved, until you get home to glory, God's going to continue to make you uncomfortable, to tweak your life, to conform you to His holiness, and work in ways where we get settled and in a routine, and God wants us to go to the next level. And that's not fun. But God cares about us, and He has a desire, a work that He wants to perform to the desire of His hands as we will yield to Him. Study about pottery. That piece of pottery, they knead it, and get all the air bubbles out. Then they knead it, it's called throwing it. They throw it on the wheel, and then they spin it. Can you imagine if the clay could talk? What would it say? Stop! I don't like this! Don't! I don't like none of this! And after they spun it, they put it in the fire. All that. But when it's done, you've got a vessel that's unique and made, that master craftsman made for someone's use and purpose. Yes, but it took every bit of that process. And none of it's enjoyable. See, that kneading, if you don't get the air, bubbles out. When it goes in the kiln and gets hit in the fire, it'll crack. Now, brethren, there's possibly the fire is going to start heating up here in this country, in this world for long. And if you've not letting God knead you, if He's not, then when the time comes for the fires hit, you'll crack. People cracked with COVID. Come on, brethren. You know why? Because they couldn't sit still and let God knead them and get the air bubbles out and then do what He wanted. So then when the heat of the kiln comes, you can make it through it. Not, you'll crack. That process is not enjoyable, but it's needful and old when it has its end result. All right, look here. Wrath. I'll define it again. Violent anger, vehement exasperation, indignation. I can't believe he would say that. Oh, come on now. People kill me. The pastor sometimes can say something that someone feels like, well, I don't think you should have said, but let's watch your language all day long. Come on now. Sometimes what it is we're getting the Lord's got our number and we're just trying to deflect it. Well, what's the next thing? Wrath and anger. Anger is defined as a violent passion of the mind excited by real or supposed injury. Real or supposed injury. Can I tell you something? Anger is not wrong if it's directed in the right way. Jesus got angry, he never sinned. But you better make sure it's right. And you better make sure you got Bible to back it up. All right? And you channel it in the right way. But I want to tell you something. Did you know one of the pieces of armor that the Bible speaks of is girding your loins with truth? Now, believe it or not, that truth is not the Word of God. The Word of God is defined as the sword of the Spirit. So when you're to gird your loins with truth, what's that speaking of? Well, if you look at truth in the dictionary, one of the definitions of truth is reality, something that's concrete, not illusion, or something that's only a passing thought. In other words, listen, the enemy wants to get you by getting in your head with assumptions. He'll do it with relationships. He'll do it with your health. How many of you have ever got a thought in your head, that might be a heart attack, that might be a stroke, that might be cancer? And all it is a thought. There's nothing wrong, but pretty soon it envelops you. Gird your loins with truth. Do I need to go to the doctor right now? Well, no, I'd feel silly doing that. Then stop thinking on it. God is not the author of confusion. Tell you how else it works. It works like this. That brother don't like me. Well, why do you say that? Well, because why? Well, he didn't speak to me. Did you speak to him? Well, maybe he didn't hear you. Why don't you try again? Well, I just think, stop it. Stop it. You're going on assumption and supposition. Gird your loins with truth. Because the devil will get in your head and he will try to plant thoughts there and get you to chase them. Gird your loins with truth. The pastor just doesn't like me. Based on what? Well, have you got something concrete? If you do, go to him and talk to him. Listen, if you have something that you think someone has against you, either get over it or go to that person alone and you don't talk to others about it. This church cannot have the power of God upon it, neither can my church or any church, if you spend your time gossiping on social media. Don't do it. Don't do it. I don't have an account, Facebook account. If you do, that's fine. I'm telling you, it ain't for me. I don't want to do with it. I got my hands busy enough as it is. Listen to me. If you've got something against someone or you think someone's got something against you, according to the Bible, Matthew chapter 18, you go to that person, you go to them alone. If you can't do that, keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. Don't you go on the internet and don't you go on social media. By the way, if you're a member of this church, you do not air this church's problems on the media. On the internet. You don't do it. Can I say something in love? You may get mad at me. I love you. But are you insane? If you care about your family, if you care about others, but yet you're going to go talk about your church or talk about church problems, you think they're going to come to church? They're going to laugh. They're going to laugh at your church. They're going to think people will do it. They're never going to come around. And it's your fault. You don't do that. You handle things here. You deal with the person themselves one-on-one. You handle it the right way. God can honor and God can bless and God can get in those things and do the things that He wants to do. Listen, I'm telling you, brother, be careful of that stuff. I'll make a quick side point. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. If you spend your time filled with the news media and what's going on in this world, your joy will be robbed. Now, I'm going to give you a personal testimony. You can believe me or not, but I'm telling you the truth. When that COVID stuff kicked off about three or four, however many years it was now ago, I was like, Lord, that's I will, by your grace, I am not filling my head with the latest warnings of this and that or what's going on. I took any news feed, I took it off. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I didn't read about it. And let me tell you something. I enjoyed from that moment on some of the sweetest revived fellowship with Jesus I had had in a long time. It was a sweet run. I'm not lying to you. I had some sweet fellowship for those years. And it's been good since. Because I determined, Lord, that's insane. I'm going to let myself be robbed of joy when all I need is you and I'm not doing it. And I just absorbed myself with him, with his word, with trying to do for others in his name. And man, it was like a mini revival in my life, and it can be yours. But you're aiding and abetting the enemy when you fill yourself with things that just keep you discouraged. If you're not careful, depression and discouragement can be old friends that you don't like letting go. How many of you have sometime in your life have had a little habit that you did that hurt you, but you couldn't hardly let go of it? Come on now. You know it's true. Some little tick or habit that you had and it hurt, but you did it. It's like you couldn't let go of it. It's the same thing with things like that. They'll become a habit, robbing you, they're draining you of spiritual energy and joy, but it's like an old friend you can't let go of, but you need to. Wrath, anger. What is the next one? Clamor. What is clamor defined as? A great outcry, noise, exclamation expressing complaint or urgent demand. Pastor, you better do something about this. Well, he better do something about it when God tells him to. And best thing you can do is pray. And be careful about those demands. Be careful about clamor. Brethren, I'm not accusing anybody here because I'm not here at this church. I'm not here at this church. I told you weeks ago I've been praying to the Lord about, Lord, what would you have me to preach? What would I have you? And I just know how things are in every church, things we all have to deal with. Clamor. Be careful about talking too much amongst one another about negative things and things you don't agree with and things you... Listen, that is carnal. That is a mark of immaturity. It is childish. And stop it. Because you will grieve the Spirit of God in your life and in the life of your church. When you get together, build up, encourage, edify, and talk good about. You understand that? Don't. And it goes along even with that media stuff. You'll get clamor going. Just starting up trouble and everything about. If you do that. God will take care of his man. As long as his man follows him. You'll be in trouble. You will. I've seen it enough through the years. You got somebody who's trying. Is this man going to be perfect? Well, no. I'm not. He's not. None of us are. But if he's trying before God, look what he did tonight. That's an honest heart. We'll still, then I'd be real careful before I ever put my mouth on somebody like that. That's a deadly thing to do. Lift up. Encourage. Lord, how can I be used, Lord, to help edify my church and make my church all that it ought to be in spiritual things with a right and a good and a holy and a joyous attitude? Anger, clamor, wrath. A couple more things. What does it say? It says, and evil speaking. Well, the word evil in the dictionary means tending to injure or to produce mischief. Your words. Has anybody, I know they have. Somebody's hurt you before with words, haven't they? Yes. It may have been when you were a teenager. Shoot, it may have been when you was younger. Maybe when you was in your 20s. Somebody hurt you bad with words. It took a long time to get over. You may not completely got over it yet and need some God's help about it. That's maybe some of that bitterness we talked about. But words hurt you. And lo and behold, if you're not careful, you do the same thing. You'll just cut somebody to pieces with words, evil speaking. You've probably heard the story about the fella who went and talked about a gentleman, an older fella, and he realized he'd done wrong, and he said, "I'm sorry, I told a lot of things about you. I bad-mouthed you, and I'm sorry. I've said things I shouldn't, and I'm sorry." And he says, I forgive you, it's okay. He said, "But I want you to do one thing." He said, "I want you to go get me a pillow, old feather pillow, you know." And he went and got it. "I want you to cut it open, and I'll shake that pillow real good. Shake it real good." And he did, and those feathers just, you know, wind just took them everywhere. He goes, "Now go gather up every one of those feathers." He goes, "I can't gather those feathers." He goes, "They're gone. I'll never gather them up." He goes, "That's exactly right." He goes, "I forgive you, but I want you to always remember those words that you put out. You can never get many of them back and undo the damage that was done. I forgive you. I hold nothing against you, but I want you to learn a lesson," he said. "Those feathers are like words, and they go out in places you'll never see now, and they'll do damage. Don't ever forget it." What are you doing with your words? Are you edifying? Are you building up? Are you tearing down? Now, you need to make it right if you haven't, but you need to remember what those words do. Words are powerful. Jesus Christ said, "Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof on the day of judgment." That's serious. A God that counts every hair of your head, knows when a sparrow falls. He knows the words you speak, and he knows the spirit behind them. It's serious. Your words have the power to build up. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, a word spoken in due season. How good is it? Words can build up and help somebody keep going, or they can destroy. What are you doing with your words? Evil speaking, and then it says, "Be put away from you with all malice." And malice is defined as a disposition to injure others. That's not what you want to do, is it? You want to help others, right? You want to lift them up. You want to encourage them. You want to strengthen them, not hurt them. From personal gratification or from a spirit of revenge. Hey, guess what? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. And these are things Paul is warning born again believers, born of the Holy Ghost, not to do, because they can do them. And it will grieve the Spirit of God and do untold damage. You know what he says in verse 32? "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Last night we discussed being born of the Spirit of God. Has God given you the Holy Ghost? Well, if He has, He's given you a wonderful gift, the gift of the Spirit, the gift of eternal life. Don't abuse that gift. Don't take that gift for granted by grieving the Holy Ghost of God, by having malice and bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. If in any area of your life this has been manifested, I beg you, make it right with God tonight. Make it right with others if you need to. A husband, a wife, children. Make a phone call. Talk to somebody. Write a letter. Do whatever you need to do. But do whatever you need to do so that you can say, "Lord, on my watch, on my part of the wall, I'm clear. I'm clear. Lord, I don't want to be that source of grievousness to your Holy Ghost so that your power can be present in our lives and in the lives of this church." But don't just get those things away. It also says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I'm going to close, but I want to say this. Your pastor stood up here tonight, and he had some tears. Don't you ever ask God to take them tears away. Thank God for for a tender heart. You understand me? You say, well, crying stuff kind of bothers me sometimes. Why? Your Savior wept. Men, solid men in the Bible wept. You know, the problem is you've got cold, you've got hard, and you've got jaded, and you can't feel. And you better be careful. The Bible speaks of having your conscience seared with a hot iron. You better be careful. And you need to perhaps ask God, Lord, my heart's not tender like it used to be. I hope at one time you've known tenderness of heart. God, my heart's not tender like it used to be. Tenderize it, Lord. Of course, you know when you tenderize meat, you got to beat that thing. God may use different things, but to get that heart tender, tender, tender toward God, tender toward others. You know what? That's all wrapped up and also at the same time, you'll have that sweet and salty taste that others can taste and see the grace of God evident and get them longing for the same Savior that's able to do that in you and have a desire for Him to do that in them. Let's pray. Father, dear Lord, Father, I definitely want to make sure that I've followed You tonight. Please work around my feeble attempts or my inadequacies. And Holy Father, I pray help this church. Help, Lord, our church down in South Carolina. Help us all, Lord, that we would be what You would have us to be. Lord, the hour gets later and later. And Father, we must have Your power and Your presence and Your might. And if we're saved, Lord, You do abide within us. But, oh, Father, if we're not careful, we can grieve, we can hinder, we can limit, Father, Your Spirit by these unclean things we allow in our lives. And, oh, Father, if there's any area tonight of our lives that any of these matters need to be dealt with, confessed, and made right before You and before others, help us so to do. And, Father, I ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I thank God for that. I just want to close with just one thought. Just one thought. I'm going to use Brother Jim Bush as an example tonight. Hopefully he doesn't mind. And it's nothing he's done, right? So let's say we're done with the service tonight, which we will be here shortly, and we get done praying, singing a song, and all of a sudden we're here fellowshipping, talking to one another, and Brother Jim Bush just walks by you and just punches you in the head. Just keeps walking, right? Let's say he gets a little further down, gets by Joe Coleman, he's like, would you not, some of you real quick be like, he's lost his mind, something's wrong, right? Well, let's say somebody else walked by and they just slapped somebody on the head and kept walking. We don't see that happening because we know better than that, and that wouldn't be proper etiquette, and that's not the way you would handle yourself. But what about... See, we wouldn't do that to somebody in the head. We wouldn't kick somebody in the shins. Amen. But we do it with the tongue.
Amen.
So I want to close with one verse. Proverbs 19:14, a very good verse to memorize. Because everything he preached on tonight comes at the tongue. Malice, anger, wrath, evil speaking, it's all from the tongue. There's very few brethren going around and punching somebody.
Right.
Actually, I don't know of any brethren. I don't want to know of any brothers or sisters in the Lord that go around just smacking somebody upside the head.
Right.
I don't want to be around that, but we do it with our words.
Amen.
And we think that's okay, but it wouldn't be okay if you hit him with your fist. So why would it be all right with your tongue? Proverbs 19:14, this ought to be our anthem prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord.
Psalms.
What did I say? See, Brother Ralph, I'm telling you, there's no help for me. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. It's in Proverbs. No, it's not. It's in Psalms. I spend too much time in Proverbs. That's why I keep saying Proverbs. But anyways, Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
We get strength from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our strength. He's our redeemer. We've got to ask Him to help us with our words and our meditation. What we think on is going to come out the mouth. You spend a lot of time with people that talk about other people, you're going to start doing it yourself. You're going to parrot out what you're spending your time with. So let the words of our mouth, let the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Let's close with a hymn tonight. Take your hymn book here. Ellie, if you come on up. Do 339. I know you can do it. Maybe. You can't do 339, 223. Look at 223. Take time to be holy. Yeah? All right, we're going to switch up. 223, page number 223. Page number 223.
I'll be right back.
Oh, okay.